Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad to be back with you today. We're continuing talking about the book and why you can trust the book. And of course, the book we're talking about is the Bible. Hey, I hope you will listen to yesterday's podcast, because we were talking about how one reason that we know that the Bible is true, it is from God, is because there is such life in it, which is why every year it is the by far the best-selling book available. Every year, the bestseller. And people all over the world are drawn and attracted to the Bible. Another thing I want to mention today, why I trust the Bible, is because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself trusted the Bible. Yes, he was God incarnate, but in the incarnation, God Almighty came down from heaven to earth and walked as one of us and showed us the way in which we should walk. And one of the things that he demonstrated and showed us was that we should put our trust and faith in God's Word. For example, when Jesus started his ministry, he had had some, you know, some supernatural experiences. There was the angel Gabriel that appeared to Mary. There was the prophecy of the aged Anna, the prophetess in the temple, and also Simeon. There was the voice from heaven that spoke when he was baptized by John the Baptist. But when he began his ministry and he walked into the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, and the Bible says, and as was his custom, in other words, he had apparently had a leading role growing up in the synagogue in Nazareth. And as his custom was, he took the scroll. He took the, in other words, the Bible. This was before collated books. So the Bible was in scrolls. And he took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he found the place where it was written. I believe it's Isaiah 61. And he read these words, which is quoted here. I'm looking at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. Literally, he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant. And he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were upon him. And then he said to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. So, at that critical moment, at the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus did not recount the story of the angels that appeared at his birth. He did not talk about the prophecies of Simeon and Anna. He did not point to the audible voice from heaven at his baptism. Instead, he anchored and based his vision, his mission, his mandate. He rooted it and anchored it in the Word of God, and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in his hearing. Wow. Now, Jesus, in his ministry, he was continually pointing people to the scriptures. Again and again, when people would have questions, he would say things like, have you not read? And then he would point them to the appropriate scriptures. For example, when the Pharisees came with a challenging question about divorce, Jesus replied, have you not read? In other words, hey, you can find everything you need in the book. When he was challenged concerning his disciples picking and eating corn on the Sabbath, Jesus again answered with scripture, saying, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? And he went on to challenge the Pharisees and their legalistic doctrines and traditions that they were trying to impose on them. And so Jesus was continually pointing people to the scriptures. And also in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus, after his baptism by John, and he went into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting and prayer, and he was tempted by the devil. And there were three temptations that Satan launched at him. And first of all, he said, the first one was, each temptation was prefaced with this question or this insinuation that was meant to produce questions and doubt in his mind as to his identity and his mission and calling. Each temptation was prefaced with this statement, if you are the Son of God, do so and so. The first one was, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones, command these stones to become bread. And this was at the end of his 40 days of fasting. And so the Bible says he was hungry. And the devil will always come and attack us at our weakest moment, at our weakest point and at our weakest moment. So he's at the end of his 40-day fast. He's hungry. And the devil comes and says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And again, Jesus did not appeal to the angelic visitation of Gabriel to his mother, to the prophecies of Anna and Simeon, to the voice from heaven at the time of his baptism. No. In response to each temptation, Jesus said, it is written, and then gave the appropriate scripture to go along with what he had just said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so Jesus overcame Satan with the same weaponry that is available to you and to me. He did not overcome Satan as God. He did not overcome Satan in his deity. He overcame Satan in his humanity, showing us that we too can overcome Satan if our faith is grounded and rooted in the living word of the living God. Each time he said, it is written, and he overcame Satan. And then from there went to Nazareth and then read another scripture and anchored the beginning of his ministry in the Word of God. Oh, my friends, how we need to anchor all of our life and all that we do in God's holy Word. Oh, Father, we thank you for the Word of the living God. Lord, we thank you that your Word has life and power. And if Jesus, our Lord, was dependent upon the Word of God, if he anchored his own calling and mission in the Word of God, if he overcame Satan by the Word of God, how much more should our lives be anchored and rooted in your Word? Lord, give us a new hunger for your Word, I pray today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think about that, my friends. Our Lord and Savior overcame Satan, not in his deity, but in his humanity, using the same instrument, the same weapon that is available to you and I. And I'll close with this passage where Paul instructed us, and it is in Ephesians, I believe it is chapter 6. He says, taking the sword of the Spirit. This is where he's talking about the arm of God. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword, he said, I want you to take it. The sword of the Spirit. In other words, the sword that the Spirit uses, which is the Word of God. You see, the Spirit and the Word agree. And the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. And when you take Scripture and you use Scripture against Satan, that becomes a sword that the Spirit uses to slice up your enemy and to give you victory and cause you to overcome. So my friends, get the Word of God in your mind and in your heart. I would encourage you to memorize a scripture every day. Put it on, write it on a little 3x5 index card. Carry it around throughout the day. Read it throughout the day. And by the end of the day, you'll have it memorized. Get the Word of God in your heart. Be an overcomer. Follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, and we will truly see a church triumphant if we will get back to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, send a back to the Bible revival in America, in Canada, in Ireland, all over the world. We pray in Jesus' name. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.